to repeat. In Mark 4, that's fine. In Mark 4, he started off with the parable of the sower and the seed. And there are different ways we can apply the Bible, different applications, one interpretation, but there are different applications. So we could look at it naturally or physically. And this would be a perfect example of a seed. So we could run through that in the Bible and learn something about seeds. Then we can look at it from the supernatural perspective and realize that when we ask people questions or when we make statements and spread the words of God, we're sowing seeds. And we have not a clue how it's going to turn out. Sometimes the Lord gives us some evidence in this life, which is always a blessing. And then there's other times we're not going to see the evidence of the seed that we've sown throughout life until eternity. And our seed sown can be on the job, not that you short your the boss or anything, but you can be a testimony of the job. Titus 2 says that's the best way for a person to be a testimony in the job, is to do their job well, according to whoever hired you, wants you to do. And that's a testimony. But then sometimes a word spoken here, it says in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. So we don't realize what a simple word can do to a person. From our perspective, we would like it to see it bear fruit, but the Lord may have a different perspective on that, where His word doesn't return void. So it can be a plus or it can be a negative. And it may be something that that party, maybe their last straw, okay, where God used a person to bring the last straw. I know a man that was a pastor in Australia, funny guy, knows God had a move to America, beyond a shadow of a doubt, had all the evidence, got a church, became a pastor of a church in the Kansas City area. And I think it was maybe 2 months, 3 months, they asked him to leave. He'd already bought a house expecting to be there. So here he is, got a house bought, figuring out, he understood that the church that he took over is going to be a project in the making, and he's got to be very slow, but they didn't want it like what they heard in the 2 months, and out the door he goes. But he just felt that he knows that's what God wanted. He said, I was the last straw for those people. God wrote Ichabod on the door after I left, and he moved to North Carolina. He got his property sold, went to North Carolina. He's been an assistant pastor and an evangelist, kind of part-time evangelist, ever since then. Didn't bother him. He knew that was God's will for him. And so the Lord has those things take place. Okay, and so from our perspective, we always want to see, we'd rather see in be in a Guinness Book of World Records rather than the Fox's Book of Martyrs, from our perspective. But from God's perspective, He'd got a different way of looking at things. His ways are higher than our ways. So in that, with that in mind, in verse 26 would be new territory. So he's talking about sowing a seed. So in verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So when he compares that, obviously the parable was dealing with kingdom of heaven. Okay, and when you go with the designation of Matthew 13, there, and of course, kingdom of heaven is only found in Matthew, found 33 times. That's a nice Masonic number. And it's a nice Lord's number, too. The devil's going to counterfeit the things of God. And he says the kingdom of heaven operates by violence, Jesus said. So that's how the kingdom of heaven operates. And so in Matthew 13, he gave seven parables dealing with the kingdom of heaven. But here he says that parable parallels the kingdom of God. And that gives us an idea. They're not the same. They're not the same. Similarity, they have similarities, but they have slight variation. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. Okay, casting seed in the ground is one type of plant. You can do that with wheat, rye, grass. You just throw it on the ground, spread a little soil on top of it. It helps it sprout better. Maybe just a little bit. Corn, you got to put it down at a certain depth, certain part. So every seed's got something different about it. But in each seed, there's an energy of life. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. We can't explain that. And there's yet, never yet had a corn sprout become a soybean. We've never seen that. Now, we've seen volunteer corn, but that's from a corn. Usually, if a plant volunteers in my garden, I kind of build a way around it and let it go. You know, especially tomatoes. Okay? And the string beans, they just keep coming back every year, and so I just let them go. If they're going to volunteer, I'm going to give them encouragement. Okay, but a person right there could take this knowledge and apply it in a greenhouse or in plants, so you can go that way with it. In this context, he's probably going the spiritual route with it, the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God can go two ways in the Bible. Kingdom of heaven is one way, physical, earthly kingdom. Kingdom of God can go both ways because the millennial time period will be both together. And you usually got to see the context, because in one place in Luke 17:20, Jesus said the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So that's obviously the spiritual aspect, matching Romans 14:19, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. But then he says, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So you got a contrast. That one is obviously referring to the millennial kingdom. And then in Galatians 5, he's dealing with inheriting the kingdom of God. Well, that's obviously the millennial kingdom, because we don't inherit salvation. Okay, and so that's where we rightly divide Scripture. So then he says in verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. And if you doubt that, just look at the weeds. Man, they can come. You don't have to do anything. They come. Those weeds come. Okay, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because of the harvest is come. Okay, the owner of the property. So we want to make sure, we want to be honest with Scripture. Okay, full corn in the ear, verse 28, that could be corn. It could be wheat. Could be grain. In the Bible, corn would be the word we use for kernel, a kernel of wheat. Okay, authority for that, if you would, try John 12. So often, what keeps our English language from disintegrating is the standard of this book. You know what the basic root issue of the woke culture is? Word fluidity. Not gender fluid. That's a part of it. They're fluid with the words. Meaning they just give any definition they want. That's the basic root on that. And that's based on vain imaginations. And the end result of vain imaginations, according to Genesis 6, is violence. Because they can justify it. In John 12, verse 24, here's an example, okay, where he says, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Okay, again, another example with seeds and in growing plants and things like that. Corn of wheat, we say kernel of wheat. So it can be a corn of corn, a corn of beans, a corn of wheat. The Bible definition. We don't have to change it. We can just write in a margin there. Okay, corn equal maybe grain. Okay, so that helps us understand it. Okay, and then he says in verse 30 of Mark 4, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? What is it like, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. So obviously that seed is very, very small, like a broccoli seed. Like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Okay, the fowls of the air, the spiritual application would be of spirits of some type. Okay, so in verse 30, he has a comparison of something in the natural world explaining something in the supernatural world. And a person can study the creation, but we don't want to get carried away with the creation. We want to get carried away with the Creator. Okay, this is what the resurrection is all about. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul uses a natural illustration that most anybody knows about to explain the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36. Okay, Paul calls this church in Corinth, these Christians, he says in verse 36, thou fool. Oh, Paul's in danger of hellfire. Matthew 5, verse 22. Jesus said, if you call thou fool to somebody, you're in danger of the judgment, unless you rightly divide scripture. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. So the seed has to take on a little bit of moisture. Okay, it'll swell. And at that point, when it swells, if it turns cold, the seed will rot and die. Okay, but if it swells and it has some sunlight, some heat that hits the soil, then a shoot comes out the north, magnetic north, it comes out the north and a shoot comes through the ground. Okay, so the corn will come through the stalk, well, the shoot will come out first. Okay, and then it, you know, chances now, if like our one field along 65, there were some gophers living under 65, and when that corn gets about that tall, boy, that's the time they would dig the kernel down and chew that one, and go for eat it, and they'd eat a good acre or so, because that corn was just ready, nice and juicy for them. So if I was out in the field and see one of them gophers, I would be, dodging here, dodging there, throwing dirt clods, dodging here and finally get one. But of course they outpopulated us. So, but there it is. And then he says, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. So there's the word. So it can go either way. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and so and to every seed his own body. So each seed's got a different plant, whatnot. And he's likening this to the resurrection. So one kernel of corn produces over 100 kernels of corn. And the rows are always even number. I've never seen an odd number. Evolution is just amazing. And so that is going to be the magnified of our resurrected body versus this body. The amazing thing about it. But we don't know what happens to the seeds that we sow. Okay, in Mark 4, this one mentions the grain, the mustard seed. So 29 years ago, in August, 29 years ago, we were part of a homeschool group. They had a first-time class for chalk art, and it was for the teenagers. And so I asked, Brent was 13 at the time, going to be 13 on August 30, and so 29 years ago, and so I didn't have a child that was old enough to take the class. I asked him if I could take the class. Okay, and this chalk art class, of course, I didn't know how to, I asked, I'm not artistic, would I be able to handle the class? They said, if you can draw a straight line, you'll be okay. I wasn't sure of that. Okay, but here we are, so I got to be in a class of about 12, 14 teenagers. Okay, and so we had all our easels up, you know, all around the thing. And then the one right next to me was a young fella, 18-year-old boy, Southern Baptist, John MacArthur fan, New King Jimmy, just graduated from public school, felt desire to go to a Christian college, wanted to go through to college and go to seminary, become a pastor. That's what he wanted to do. That's what his desire in life was. So he's right next to me. Then at nighttime, we're in the little, in Indianapolis, we're in a little hotel, like the whole building, they owned it. So we had four in our room, three teenagers and me, the old guy. I don't think I snored back then, so it probably is okay. Maybe the third day, I'm not sure what it was, but this young 18-year-old kid asked me a couple questions about the Bible, and I knew he'd already told me what his desire was. And so I vaguely answered them. I didn't answer very specific. I just answered a couple of his questions. And he asked them more, and he asked them more. And the kid wouldn't leave me alone. And so I started laying stuff out and answering his questions. And he just jumped all over that. One night, you know, I'm in the hallway there, and I can hear him on the phone talk to his dad. Dad, when we get home, we got to get new Bibles. And I'm like, oh, man, where is this going to go? Southern Baptist, John MacArthur, New King Jimmy. Okay, then he just kept asking questions and kept asking questions, and I would just answer, and I answer this, answer that, gave him the scripture and everything, and he was getting more and more excited. And then he said, would you advise me to go to a college? Is there something you would encourage? I said, not me, no way. Yeah, he said, what do you advise me to do? I said, stay home under your dad's authority. I'll send you some cassettes and you start learning that way. That's dating it, cassette tapes. Remember cassette tapes? So I sent him some, and then I would filter in a couple of Ruckmans here and there, some tame ones of Ruckmans here and there. And he just got fired up, and he would call me up, and we'd be on the phone talking for an hour. You know, me on the phone for an hour, Heidi and I, we're lucky we can do 15 minutes because my brain goes dead. When you say hello, my brain goes dead right then. I can't think of anything to say. Jan just laughs at me. And usually our conversations with our kids on the phone would be her saying hello, her doing the talking, me in the background listening, you know, maybe throwing something there and there. Well, Jeremy just kept asking these questions, and then he would drive up on once a month to go to the health classes up in Michigan. A Southern boy driving on snow is a dangerous thing. And so they left, this whole family, his dad, his mom, his two sisters, they left the Southern Baptist Church, went to a step up, more of a, it was a Gothard church. It was a step up, but you can't just go from one to a Bible believer like that. And there was a Bible believer in the area, but they went up to this one. And so it was a step up for them. And then after some things, after being there 3-4 years, then they went to a Bible-believing church downtown, and they were there for a couple years, and then the preacher did something kind of goofy, and they kind of had a split company. And so then they went to where the other one was a good preacher, but not a good pastor, and the second one was a good pastor, but not a good preacher. And they pretty well had their doctrine settled down at that time. The entire family followed his lead. I would have never dreamed that. Never dreamed that. Just from answering a young man's questions. And in both those two of the churches, it kind of had some sad events that happened to in those churches after they had left. The one church was a homeschool type church. They were big into Gothard and all that stuff. And so years after the Wilsons left, the pastor's daughter got courting a young man in a church, happy-go-lucky. I mean, all happy, happy, happy. They got married, you know, everything. And 1 year into the marriage, she was going to have a baby. And then she was bending down in the closet. He took a gun and shot her in the back of the head. Then he went to work for about 8 hours, just like nothing happened. And they figured out it was him. The kid's in jail now, serving a life sentence. Who would have thought that? The other church, the pastor was babysitting his little grandson, and little guy, grandson. He kind of crawled into a swimming pool and drowned. Terrible situation, and the mom had blamed him and blamed him and blamed him. He died of a heart attack at 60, which probably was a grace of God, because he just couldn't get over that. Sad, sad things. Sad things. But eventually, Jeremy starts church. Here this 18-year, who would have dreamed that? He's got a church started, church all paid for, 17 acres, radio station. He won, a fella was mowing where they mowed side by side, you know, and because Jeremy did a mowing business, this fellow was a Cajun. He is a Cajun, okay? And he was Catholic, but he was searching. He asked Jeremy some questions. He got saved. He starts asking about Jeremy's sister. And so now we're down there and they got 10 grandkids. All the kids are in the church. And they were teaching us music stuff about shape notes, which we never heard of. Anybody hear of shape notes? You've heard of shape? That was new to us. And so we heard them sing. Jan said, okay, now the real test. I want you to pick a song you never sung before. And they did the shape notes first, and then they sang that song, boom, just like that, and it was very impressive. So Jan's trying to learn some stuff for shape notes for school. She's thinking about this. Man, oh, man. And so here they got a radio station. They've got a mission house where they got places where they can bring in missionaries, and they can teach them wood shop. They've got a whole wood shop. A wood shop would make anybody jealous. Lathes and everything, and they could teach young men the wood part, they could teach them electrical, and everything's all paid for 29 years later. Who would have thought that? If you would have said that to me, I would have thought you're crazy. But that's what a seed sown can do. And we never know how these things are going to work out. Never know. There was a fella in Jasper County, fella that I was kind of discipling in Jasper County jail. And then there's another fella who would just kind of hang in the back and listen and listen and listen. He really wouldn't listen to the partake up front at first because he was real suspicious. He's Pentecostal. He knew me. And so he would just back there listen, 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 listen. And this guy, He would be in Jasper County for a couple weeks, and then he'd be gone, then he'd come back, then he'd be gone, and then he'd come. I said, what is your deal? But this guy back then, ATM machines usually were out in the open, not in a building, and he'd tie a chain around them and take a pickup and pull them about a mile away and empty them, and he did that in like 10 counties. That's why he was going from place to place. Yeah, he stole IOUs is what he stole. But banks don't like it when you steal their IOUs. And so, and then we kind of struck up a friendship too. And he was going to do one more job. And then after that, take all the cash he had saved up, go to Hawaii and raise his daughter. And that's the one he got caught on. And so here he is, and then we part company. I have no idea what's going on with him, you know. And about 20 years later, I get a call from some fella out of Michigan. He said, you remember me? I said, Warren, phone you. Tell me about it. He said, I was the guy that went from county to county ATM. I said, oh, yeah, I remember you. He said, you won't believe what I'm doing now. I said, what you doing? He said, I'm a chaplain. Up in Michigan, working with what was called Reformers Anonymous. I said, man, what got you thinking like that? He said, when I was sitting in Jasper County Jail, I'd watch you answer Frank's questions, and you would say Bible, scripture, and he said, I'd like to be able to do that someday. He put the work into it, did it, and then he's working up in Michigan, and one fella said to him, boy, you got a Bible answer for all these questions? And he said, right then, I remembered you. He said, I had to give you a call, let you know. You see, you just don't know. You have no idea what God's going to do with the seed. Okay? And it's just, the thing is, all we're responsible to do is sow the seed. That's what we're responsible to. Sow the seed. Sow the seed. And then the Lord takes care of it. And you know, I do believe a lot of times the Lord does sprout the seed out of our visual, because He gets the credit that way. Amen. Instead of us getting the credit. And I mean, Jeremy put the effort into it. He went to, he eventually did a correspondence course out of the Blue Ridge Bible Institute. North Carolina, so he got a, you know, diploma. But it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing to see a Southern boy and a Yankee, you know. And boy, we did surprise them. The mama, when she looked out through the door, no, 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 opened the door, slammed the door on her face. And then open the door, and I said to him, I heard there was a hurricane in the area, so I thought we would show up, because that was the last time they saw us when we came down during hurricane season. And we just had a good laugh, enjoyable time. And they turned around and blessed us with the music. And then Jan taught them some gemstone stuff, you know, your witchcraft. And they were just thrilled with that. So with all that, verse 30, 31, 32, keep sowing seeds. Amen. We can do it officially together. But a lot of times the Lord and the Spirit of God is spontaneous. It's just a matter of spontaneous answer here. It's one here. It's one there. Okay, and that way the Lord gets the credit. He gets the glory. Okay, so then he says in verse 33, he said, with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Notice, as they were able to hear it. We got to discern sometimes where some people aren't ready to hear some things. And we don't have to take the whole bottle of medicine and pour it down their throat at one time. And the Lord said to the apostle, I've got many things to tell you, but you're not ready for them. And so, you know, you don't start up with somebody on the conspiracies, you know, unless they've been into the conspiracy. Maybe that's their starting point. And they can be right about the conspiracies and wrong about the gospel. What good is it going to do them? They're going to die and go to hell with the conspirators. And so we just keep studying, keep looking, keep searching. And ask the Lord to give us the right word at the right time to the right person with the right spirit. We might be surprised what's said sometimes. So he said, as they were able to hear it, but without a parable, spake he not unto them. Why? Because as a nation, they've crossed over in Matthew 12. Okay, and so where's America on that? It's hard to say. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Okay, in this context, the disciples and the apostles, but remember in John 6, many of the disciples left. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over on the other side. So he's up north now in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee. It's also called Tiberias and Gennesaret. Gennesaret, I think. Okay, and we're going to go on the other side. And it seems like it's just spontaneous. Of course, the Lord knows what's going to happen. And he wants to teach the fellas something. 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the winds beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Okay, pillow. Would we think a small pillow? Or one of them big pillows? My wife's got one of them big ones, so you can put it between your legs and everything, them big, tall pillows. We'd probably call that a bed. How could he sleep during that? He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Can you imagine frying your brain on that? Now, the charismatics claim that they can do greater works than the Lord. Now, my suggestion to these charismatics, if they really want to demonstrate this, is the next time a hurricane or a hurricane comes into Florida, get the cameras out, have the cameras running, and when that thing comes in, peace. Kenny Copeland, suggestion. Peace, be still. Anybody ever see his rebuking COVID? Hilarious. Some people have put that to some rap songs and music, which is kind of funny. You know, it's not, it wasn't so crazy him doing it, but the dudes beside him, that to me was the real crazy ones. And so, he could show his power, demonstrate his power, and that hurricane or hurricane will calm down like this. Boy, there's something. He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Yeah, now I've seen it on very rarely that maybe the Lord moved the weather around, you know, due to prayer, maybe due to passing out tracts or something like that, where it's supposed to be raining and it wasn't. Okay, the Lord has that capability. Obviously, does the devil have that capability? I do believe so. Does our military have that capability? Possibly. I don't think that they could control it once they spark it, but it's almost like an avalanche. You get that one rock, and they can kind of move the rock and then let her go. I know they're trying it, and I know HAARP up there in Alaska may get credit for some earthquakes, some hurricanes, and whatnot. The evidence of 9/11, according to, Judy Wood, who studied the evidence of 9/11, says that a hurricane was hovering out there in the Atlantic Ocean, which might have been used for some energy that shot in rays where cars were elevated and flipped over and burned right then. But yet there were trees, kind of like Hawaii, where people that had a blue tarp on their house didn't get torched, but the big beast, Oprah, you know, her place didn't get burned up. Isn't that something how that happens? You know, and so does the devil or does our military have these capabilities? They say Russia has Scalar. I think so. I would say the devil is probably the one that brought up the tornado that killed Job's children. So I think he does have that capability. But the Lord says it rains on the just and the unjust. And obviously we can pray to the Lord for these things. But in this case, man, can you imagine just speaking it? Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. He said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Yeah, and so does that whale that swallowed Jonah. You know, and that whale probably said, Man, that gave me an upset stomach. A backslidden prophet. And so, yeah, animals tend to follow the Lord's leading. Okay, and it's these men, women, for and children just don't. They do. We do have a problem with the Lord's leading. You know, and of course that's the will he, the free will he placed in us. So boy, can you imagine that one, 41, where they're just sitting in the boat and as calm as could be, and they're looking over the curve, they're looking over the, that water, that, you know, curved water, and all that stuff, and they're just, their brain is just, did I just experience what I just think I experienced? There's some things in life that just kind of hit you like that. And you just chalk that up. Just chalk that up. So, yeah, isn't that something about the Lord? Verse 40, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Now, I do believe that in the tribulation, the Jewish evangelists will have some of these capabilities. And so it's going to be a wild scene during the trib. Just a wild scene. God in his power. I don't think Muhammad could do that. And I don't think, Judge Rutherford or Pastor Russell J.W.'s could do that. That's a fascinating thing. Okay, we'll stop there. Go chapter 5 next time. Any questions will we cover? Okie dokie. Prayer request. Jan sent out a praise. I don't know if some of you saw it, but Sylvia's uncle, Sylvia Savage. Why would you like to have that last name, Savage? Brian's uncle. And so he's having a tough time in the hospital. She's been witness to him for 12, 14 years. So we were driving home yesterday, and she got a hold of us and said, would you witness to my uncle? I've talked to him time and time.